Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babe?
I'm good. Had a little impromptu week off last week. Sorry about that.
I missed you.
I had the joys of absolutely horrendous migraine, which got me sent home from work. But other than that, absolutely fine.
Bless you. You're feeling better now, though.
Yeah. I don't get really, really bad migraines that often because I carry medication with me, but very occasionally. And this one started like in the night. So I've kind of thought I was going to be all right, got to work, and I was like, I can't even really like look at the screen properly. So anyway, my boss is very kindly let me go home, but it was on the day we record. So I was like, I don't know what state I'm going to be in by the time we get to recording time. So best if I just, let's just put the kibosh this.
Lay in a dark room.
Basically, yeah, which was incredibly boring. But yeah, otherwise all good. How are you, Bob?
I'm really good, thank you. Really good. Lovely to be back. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah. No, it's nice to be back and get things, keep things running and back to normal, really.
How was your weekend? Did you get out to anything nice?
I did. I had my friend was over visiting from America. So we did lots of I could say wholesome activities, but it was lots of like pub
getting calls, pissed
basically. Yeah. He summed it up exactly right. Which ended up with me after sort of 10 hours of drinking in the Eagle, which, if anyone knows, the Eagle is like kind of a South London gay bar sort of institution, where things can get a bit raucous.
I feel like I've heard of the Eagle, but I don't often go south of the waters.
Yeah,
I wonder why I've heard of it. Maybe is it quite a famous?
Yeah, and there's Eagles like around the world. There's like one in New York and stuff. Like I think it's a bit of like a famous sort of gay bar franchise, maybe. So yeah, ended up in there, and then do you know what, Bob? I could rant about this for a long time. Ubers, what the hell has gone on? What is happening? Because
Tell me your story. What's happened?
2:30, I left this place. 2 Ubers later, 5 a.m., I finally got home. So it took me 2.5 hours. I could have bloody got the bus quicker.
Walked quicker.
Yeah, I probably could have walked home quicker. Just an absolute nightmare.
What's they doing? Just doing the cancel last minute thing on you?
Cancelling lots, and then we got to I was with two friends and they're partners, and I dropped them off, got out to say goodbye, and the driver drove off.
No.
Yeah. So I was like, well, there's nothing you could do, is there? Like, and it must have been about, I'm gonna say, 3:45 by that point. So then I had to walk. Anyone that knows East London, I had to walk from basically Liverpool Street to Stepney, which was quite a journey, and all that time trying to get an Uber. So yeah, basically it was a bit of a disaster. You know, good night out other than that. But I do want to know what's going on with Uber. And then looking at how much I spent on Ubers was probably more than I spent on drinks all night. But I mean, other than that, it was all good. What about you? How was your weekend?
What did I get up to? I think I had a really quiet weekend. I can't actually think of, God, how bad's that? It was literally 3 or 4 days ago. I didn't go out. I think I just had a little bit of a chilled one.
Nice.
It's just nice. I was with family Sunday. And what did I do Saturday? It would have been something very, because I was having a low key. I know, it was an organisation day. I have these kind of, I think we spoke about it before. I was going through my wardrobe. Do you ever have like where you just need to have a little clear out of things?
Yeah.
And I have this thing where
a spring clean,
literally. And I think, oh, I'm going to hang on to that. And people will say to me, or I've watched something on video, and they say, if you're not wore it in 6 months, well, there's a lot of things we ain't wore for 6 months with everything that's happened. Yeah. But I think, oh, I might keep that. But it's just literally certain things which I'm not going to wear again. And I thought, oh, someone's going to make better use of that. So I just started filling bags up. But once I start and the bin liners are out, I kind of get a little bit carried away.
So now you've got no clothes left.
So literally, I've probably given away more than what I've kept. But I think that there's like t-shirts and shirts that I've got that are like from Smalls, I'm thinking, Bob, you ain't getting in Smalls no more. Like, this really ain't happening. You can hang on to these forever and a day, babe, but your days are going in and picking up a small from Top Man.
Well, there's no Top Man anyway.
Top Man, I mean. That shows how long some of these things were. But yeah, someone will get better use of them than me. So yeah, it was just literally one of them kind. But that's, I find good. That quite therapeutic for my mind.
100%. And it's nice to look at your wardrobe and know that, like, you will wear all of these things rather than what I do, which is I end up with like a shelf at the top just full of stuff that I'm basically shoving in, like,
yeah,
once it's like clean.
And you kind of push things to the far back.
Yeah. And then when I pull it all out, I'm like, I forgot I had that. And then I'm like, yeah, and I've never worn it in like 6 years. Why am I still keeping it?
And so yeah. When you squeeze too many things in, I was noticing things that have been ironed, like shirts, where there was so much crammed up to one side, everything looks like it needs re-ironing again.
It's just really stressful,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, so it was like literally one of them spring cleans. And just things you kind of accumulate over time. And once I then started with the wardrobe, I was then clearing out other things and just throwing away things I've kind of kept for years that I don't really need. I think I must have, in a past life, hoarder tendencies. Although I kind of have OCD tendencies, I very much hold on to but the strangest of things. Do you ever do that? Like random things, like you keep a... I mean, I won't even go through it right now, but in the drawer next to me, I found a pile. But for them, I kind of keep for memories. But even though your memory's in your head, I've got tickets from like Spice Girls concerts, Girls Aloud, like ticket stub things.
Yeah.
NTA tickets, wristbands. Yeah. I don't know what I'm ever going to do with them, but I'm like, oh, that's a memory.
Yeah. Well, you need my mum made me like a memory box. And I actually do kind of stick to that. Now, within reason,
so I do, what have do you little... mean a memory box? Whatever don't fit in there goes.
Yeah, what I want to keep. What I want to keep. So I've got some pictures, I've got some Polaroids and things like that, and then I've got probably the odd like ticket stuff. I remember when I used to do a lot of red carpet chats and stuff. I used to keep the passes that I got on the red carpet for like premieres and things. Stuff like that. But yeah, I am pretty good now. I also do have a pin board, like a cork pin board, where I put up some stuff that kind of like I like to look at and remember what I've done. Because it is important, because the weeks and months and years go by and you do forget like what theatre shows you've been to or like...
Well, look, I can't even remember what I did 4 days ago at the weekend.
Exactly.
But I could tell you that I went to Spice Girls in 2007 at the O2, sat in Block A2 or whatever it was. It's madness. But like certain things that I've kept, like you say, like my first red carpet things and certain things. But then it kind of gets to the point where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
But I think it started when I was a kid, because I mean, I'm probably showing my age now. I don't know if you really get them anymore on holiday. But do you ever used to get like a cocktail? Obviously, it was non-alcoholic, by the way, because I was a kid. But you'd get like a plastic flamingo or the umbrella or like the firework thing, which was kind of like a confetti, not confetti, like a foil thing.
Yeah.
And I would spend the week going around the holiday, say I was in Greece, parrots, the paper parrots. I mean, they're not so much the things I still have, but I think it must have started then that I associate memories with things.
I totally agree with you. I've actually got one from the Philippines where it's like, it's a cocktail syrup, but it's like a shrimp. Like a curly shrimp at the top, and I've kept that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I've ever, but then it's in my memory box, so you know what I mean. It will. That's all right. That's where it will stay. It's not.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a memory box, and what doesn't fit has to go.
Yeah, and you have to be sort of like severe with yourself. But yeah, I mean, definitely. I'm a bit of a hoarder too, so it's hard. I get it.
I've rendered the scale because I'm quite happy. Once the bin liners are out, I'll start. But I think you have to emotionally open the mind and start clear. But I've got two drawers of DVDs. I don't even have a DVD player anymore. No. Why have I got DVDs?
It is true. Although I have to say, I have a PlayStation, which I do occasionally play a DVD on. And when I have my nephews visit and stuff, although I was going like, yeah, they're not going to watch like The Iron Lady or Burlesque or any of these things. And I've got some old like Studio Ghibli, like Japanese animation films. And it's like, they're not going to watch them either. So I'm saying it's a good thing, but maybe not. But there's been some exciting news for you, Bob. The show that you're working on has been announced, isn't it?
It has. So I can finally, and I'm so excited that I can announce now because I've kept it secret, but actually did one of our one of our recordings from a hotel when I was staying there, as you know. So I can officially announce that I'm going to be on the next series of Celebrity Karaoke Club. And it was such a fun show to do. Some great, great celebs there. Such a laugh, really fun. And I was a little bit scared when I kind of got the call asking if I wanted to do it, because I'm not known for my singing abilities.
Vocal shall we talents.
Say. Yeah. Elton John isn't worrying. but I kind of thought, you know what? You just do it. What you got to lose. But it is a scary thing.
Yeah, especially if you're not used to it, getting up in front of people and of camera or multiple cameras.
Yeah. And especially when you probably know you're up against some amazing singers. But I obviously don't want to give the game away. But it's a vast spectrum of singing abilities.
Of talent,
shall we say. Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Whether some of us would get to boot camp if it was X Factor, I don't know.
That is a retro reference these days. Is it? Wow.
I'm showing my age, aren't I? But regardless, and I think the one thing that made me feel more comfortable, and I actually really loved doing it, it was such a fun show to do, is there's a massive difference to go and sing, say, X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, a talent show, shall we say, The Voice, that's a show that's still going. to go and sing, knowing you can sing and trying to get a record deal out of it. The big difference between that and doing karaoke. So bearing in mind, there's a group of celebs with a free bar and access to a karaoke machine. You can see how it's going to go. And yeah, I don't know when it is, but as soon as I do, I will tell you guys first. But yeah, excited that I can announce it.
And,
it'll be a great watch. Like I say, it's the taking part that counts, which is what I always used to tell myself at sports day.
Same, babe. And I used to come second in the skipping race every year. That was as far as I
loved
got.
Skipping.
I mean, what a surprise.
The shock. I'm sure people are falling off the off the tube chair right now whilst they're listening to this.
Yeah, who else is taking part in the show?
So we've got Chriselle from Selling Sunset.
Yeah.
We've got Laura Anderson from Love Island.
Yeah.
Chloe Sims from Towie. Who else have we got? I'm trying to think now. Got Donna Preston.
Oh, yeah. Fab.
We have got Karim.
Oh, yeah. Karim, yeah.
Karim. Who's the men?
Ahura.
So I'm trying to think now, because it's one of them things that it starts off. I don't know how many of us start off, say maybe six, and then every episode, at the end of every ep, one of us gets voted off, but you have to vote each other off.
Okay. So
every ep that ends, someone leaves, does a mic drop, start of the next ep, someone arrives. So over the course of it, I think there's 12 celebs. Like I say, it's definitely going to be worth a watch.
Definitely exciting. I think it's going to be out in the summer, right?
I think out this summer, ITV2, so watch this space.
Fab. We have an exciting show coming up today. Two guests for you. We've got Tristan Phipps from Made in Chelsea, who's a bit of a outdoorsy character, safari man, and lots of interesting stuff to talk to him about. And then fresh from I went on The Apprentice, we've got Harpreet Kaur coming on to talk to us. So looking forward to talking to them. How's the showbiz news been? Well, we could say fortnight because we didn't do last week, but anything caught your eye?
So what's caught my eye? Got to start, obviously, because it's just coming off the back of Brooklyn's wedding. Allegedly rumoured that Romeo Beckham is ready to marry his girlfriend. There's something in the Beckham water.
There really is. I mean, I don't want to point it out. He's 19 years old. That is very young.
I think I've got a Lumi in my fridge that's older.
definitely. I've got some curry powder in my spice drawer. That is young to be thinking about that sort of thing. Do you reckon it's like sort of piggybacking off the back of old Brooklyn?
No, I don't know, because I'd like to think not, because I just don't think marriage can possibly be one of them where you try to up. Sorry, it's quite a serious thing, isn't it? I say quite a very serious thing. I mean, it's not that I've ever been married or even been engaged. But I I really don't know. I think they're probably off the back of Brooklyn's huge Reading, which I think was rumoured to be over $3 million. I think that in your head, does it, because does it then, talking of trying to rub, there's kind of a pressure if your brother's just said that. I don't know if it'll be a little bit more low-key.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
I don't have brothers or sisters, so I don't know if it's a compare thing. I don't think weddings kind of should be. I don't know. I'm a big believer that they say when you know, but all I'm saying is I'm glad I didn't marry who I was with when I was 9 years.
Absolutely not. I mean, yes, that's a prime and very good point. I feel like who I was dating when I was 19, well, they were all probably about my age now, to be honest. So that probably wouldn't have worked out too well because they'd be nearly 60 years old now.
You ever been engaged, Stephen?
No, not even close.
You're not really feeling marriage though, are you?
I spoke
about it not that long ago. It doesn't bother you either way.
No, I think I would like to have a partner. I'd like to settle down. But I think for me, I'm marriage, like getting a certificate, walking down the aisle, all that stuff. Don't know, not that bothered.
Fair days, babe.
So well, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on old Romeo and see if he does follow in Brooklyn's footsteps.
Maybe that's the trend nowadays. Maybe it's gone back to
everything goes
round in a circle, don't they? Say fashion, everything kind of what goes around comes. Oh no, that's karma. Did I say what goes around comes around? That's definitely a saying.
Yeah, but it's
I don't
not
know if
what...
it's about weddings.
No, it's no. not. Yeah, it's basically if you do something bad, then it will get you in the end.
Yeah. But back in the day, people got married young, didn't they? Maybe that's what people do now.
Yeah, maybe we've just missed the boat.
Which
that time
makes me and you now in our mid-20s. Yeah.
I think we're kidding anyone, Bob, sadly. I'm up for seeing more pictures of the Beckhams looking fab at a wedding. So
100%. We might get an invite to this one.
Fingers
I think
crossed.
Brooklyn's got the wrong email address for me.
Yeah, true. We'll have to wait and see. Well, let's do a little bit more showbiz goss in a bit because our first guest, Tristan, is here to chat. So let's get him in.
Perfect.
Hello.
Tristan, how are you doing?
Very well, very well. How are you, Stephen?
Great, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. What's been going down?
Thanks for having me, man. I've been outside enjoying the sun. The sun is here.
Yeah.
Lovely, isn't it?
Let's crack open the rosé. Let's enjoy.
Man after me own heart.
You know what it is. I've been waiting all year for this. About time we had some good weather.
It's very true. Yeah.
That's so British, isn't it? Talk about the weather straight away.
Well, we literally do this every week on this show. We're like, wow, oh my God, the weather's finally nice. So we totally get it.
That bad, he's got to go straight with the weather.
Yeah, basically. It's a very British thing to do, and that's fine.
It is.
What have you been doing then? Making the most of it?
Because
you're quite an outdoorsy guy, aren't you?
I am. For a man who lives in London, I do love the outdoors. Slight juxtaposition to what I'm about. But I'm a hybrid creature, I like to describe myself. Kind of indoor-outdoor version. I've been enjoying the summer. I'm busy, meetings in the city, but now I'm here chatting to you guys.
And I wanted to ask you, Tristan, how have you found filming the last series? Because it's currently airing now, isn't it? So when did you wrap that series? Because you have quite a long time from filming to it airing, don't you?
Yeah, do you know what? So we had quite a long time off. Our biggest break is November till kind of February we started again. We finished about a month ago now, about 2 weeks ago. And we go to start the next series in 2 weeks again. So this is a small...
Oh, wow.
Little period, yeah, it kind of runs throughout the whole year. But it's been really nice being out of COVID lockdown rules now, because I tell you what, the last year, 2 years was so different to the normal kind of where we film in Chelsea. It was more like a Big Brother meets, I don't know, some other show, which was quite intense, made good viewing. But it's nice to be back in London, kind of getting on with your normal life and then having the filming alongside it. So it's been great, to be honest.
And can you massively, I mean, apart from the obvious, can you tell a difference when filming? Now restrictions have lifted, because I know in Towie, when we did our first series back after, I think, the initial lockdown one, they all become a blur, didn't they?
Yeah,
where restrictions have been put in place. It was very, very strange, because the nature of Towie, I think, like Made in Chelsea and a lot of shows like ours, are that we're together socialising in groups and then kind of moving about. So it was kind of having a form bubbles and then consciously having the 2 meter gap. Now, we used to kind of be shoulder to shoulder up until
in each other's faces.
Literally. When someone wanted to throw a drink. Before you throw that glass of wine, are you 2 meters away?
It's really hard snogging someone from 2 meters away, isn't it? No, honestly, there's been some terms and words that I've learned in the last year that I've never thought I'd got. Close contact cohort. I'd no idea what that meant. Social distancing. So we basically we get tested regularly. Obviously, there's all sorts of rules and stuff that the channel have to go through to kind of get the go ahead for filming. So it's quite intense COVID protocols, testing twice a week, every time we
even
arrive
now
on set. Well, we're not filming now, but I imagine it will be for the summer series. Yeah.
Right.
Lateral flows before you arrive on location, that kind of stuff. And then you get put in close contact cohorts, which essentially mean that you can break that 2 meter rule because you're getting tested so regularly, but it's specific to kind of who your social group is. So obviously there's a lot of different groups in the show, people who would hang out normally and those who wouldn't. So you're in kind of separate cohorts and then you can kind of do whatever you want.
So what are your predictions? You've got a couple of weeks till you start again.
Yeah.
Now watching this one back, because you have quite a gap, because obviously you film, you wrap filming and then you watch it back. Now you know you're going back into an... Yeah.
Behind the pillow,
Because there's such a break. Do you almost forget what you've said? Because even when we used to have like a week or so in between filming to it airing, by the time it was edited, we'd be like, oh, I forgot I said that one round.
Is that how quick it is for Towie? Is it that quick?
Yeah, wow. Could be within like a week to 2 weeks. It was such a quick turnaround. But even then, you know what it's like? If you was filming a scene for, say, an hour and a bit, two or 3 minutes that becomes thing, you almost forget things that were said, and that was in that close frame of 2 weeks. So
we probably have about 3 or 4 months. Yeah,
blimey. So you probably forget.
Oh, but it's a strange one. Like, obviously, this series is super dramatic, like, and it gets more dramatic. Let's just put that out there. It's hectic, but it's like, obviously, reliving it is quite crazy because you go through it, and then suddenly it's on TV and then, you know, people are commenting and this, that, and the other. And do the worst thing, to be honest, is hearing what other people have been saying about you 3 months later.
When you thought you're all good then.
You're like, I'm over it now. And then suddenly you're like, hold on a minute, I'm not over it anymore. Cause that's like that. That is quite, you almost live it twice, kind of the reality at the time. And then it all comes back. And you've got to be quite careful about not, particularly in relationships and friendships and stuff, not holding on to that. I think that's quite a big lesson people learn, is to not be like, right, it happened 4 months ago, life's moved on, let's not let that kind of overtake everything. But again, the 4 months is, I think it's about 3 or 4 months, it is quite tricky to get back in that headspace of what was going on there, because your life's obviously moved on so much. And then also the other side of it, because there's such a big gap between the show airing and where we're at now, is kind of not keeping our life secret, if you like, but kind of not ruining the show for everybody letting people be part of that journey, because so much has happened that you kind of have to be like, oh wait, they think we're here but we're actually here, you know, this relationship's not happy anymore. People think it is. You're walking down the street holding hands with someone else, like, hold on a minute.
Do you know what, it's so funny, I remember years ago I used to work at a magazine, I think it must have been when Chelsea first started, and trying to like deal with the press office who were trying to keep a secret of what was going on in the real world, and then interview people about upcoming storylines. It was an absolute nightmare, but I think people have got better at it now, because it's more, we've been doing it for so long, it's a well-oiled machine now, but in the beginning it was like fighting fires all over the place. They have no idea.
Just pretty much don't say anything.
Just stay quiet. And I think also the journalists learned eventually what they could and couldn't ask, because it was like pointless or someone would come down and then like a ton of bricks. But
it is hard to remember. You're like, oh, am I allowed to say that? Is that where I'm to be honest, because this, I don't know if you guys have seen on All Four, we have the next episode airing as the first one comes out, so 1 and 2 came out at the same time, so we're kind of like, I actually don't know where we're at now in terms of what the viewers. No, I'm pretty sure they're at episode 4 or 5.
But that's also like a thing these days as well, that also kind of, well, I guess it did exist like maybe 10 years ago, but was a lot smaller. It's like people aren't always watching it at the exact time that like they used to. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like everyone's watching the program at Wednesday at 10 or whatever. Like now they might go back to it 6 months later or whatever and be visiting it then and maybe tweet you something. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that does happen. You get the old comment. You're like, what? You're calling me out for what? That was like 2 years ago, mate. I'm here now. Something else to call me out for, surely.
So I know it's always impossible to predict because it is reality and you kind of every day is very different. But for the new series that you're about to go into, knowing what you know from the previous, that's obviously all wrapped and stuff, what are your predictions? Do you reckon it's explosive?
Bobby, this has been... I've done this for 4 years now. I've done shows for 4 years. And this is... The last series has hands down been the most hectic one I've been part of. There's so much more to come. It's crazy. Like, we all... Every year we say... Oh, that's not... At the beginning of the series, you go, oh, there's not much going on. Surely it's going to be a bit boring. I'm sure you have the same entire... What are you going to talk about? And then suddenly you're like, oh, shit. Like, yeah. That happens. So this has definitely been a series of polarization, I'd say. There's a lot of relationships or not so much kind of, you know, people going in different directions, friendships, relationships across the board. So we're going away for a summer series. I'm not sure I can tell you where we're going, but we're going away.
Yeah, you can.
I can. Yeah. We're going to, it's hot is what I'll tell you. I'll be wearing swimming trunks and no t-shirt.
That's a surprise.
That's right. Any excuse. But it's going to be really interesting. The dynamics going to be really interesting. The social dynamic, because what you guys have seen already, there's been a lot of breakups. I mean, Emily and Harvey, obviously the main one, and friendship groups that were formed before going away now, we don't know how that's going to kind of work out and how we're going to have that social dynamic, because we are a very close knit group, but this year there's been a lot of fracturing in that group. So it'll be really interesting to see how the summer plays out, and it will be explosive. I've got no doubt.
And it's something always more dramatic. I always found when away from home. So if ever we was on a trip, ever filming on holiday, I don't know, because we're not all going home to our own house.
Brits abroad.
Brits abroad, yeah. Very much so. But I think even if you're in the most dramatic storyline or you've had a row, you've had a breakup, you generally go home, don't you, after filming, have a bit of dinner, chill time, go back to filming the next day. When you're on holiday, all in a villa together or all in a hotel, you don't have that. So I always used to find it's a lot more dramatic when filming away.
That was certainly what we found from the lockdown series as well. Because in the lockdown series, because of the COVID protocols and the national lockdowns, we couldn't even leave the premises of the houses we were staying in. So we were there, like we were in it. You know, when we go overseas, at least we'll have that kind of, you know, we're not filming every single day. We can kind of get on with our lives. Most of us got businesses we're running and stuff. So we've got work to do during the week. And that can run alongside it. But absolutely, if you're in that environment and we are there for 6 to 8 weeks, I think it's going to be very intense. And that stuff, you can't just step away from it. It's on your front door every minute of every day. So, yeah, it will be difficult to kind of escape that. But, you know, that's why these summer series or the away trips are so great, because, you know, everyone's there and they're in it.
Yeah. And you get to soak up a few rays, have a cheeky cocktail around the pool.
Exactly. I'll be hitting the Mai Tais as soon as we land.
Do you find though, like with sort of never ending drama, you mentioned like some of the what's happened with you, does that ever make you question doing more of the series? Because obviously you, like you said, you do have like a life away from the show. It's not like this is the only thing you do.
I think if we're being realist, like, you know, it is what we sign up for. And I think as with life, you know, there are always highs and lows. It's kind of, I hate to use the word a journey, but it is, you know, and it obviously adds a different dynamic when it's played out on camera and it's, you know, for the nation to kind of watch and comment and judge. But I think for most of us, the reason why we're doing it, there's a reason why we come back to it, you know, series on, series out. It is a great environment to work in when it's good. They've got the team are great. You know, most of the cast members are great. Not all of them. not all of them. But I think I think for me personally, there's a timeline to it, but there hasn't been a situation as of yet that's been like, no, I'm not coming back. Yeah, as of yet.
And how do you find the social media? Like you say, because obviously when episodes go out, and everyone, which is part of the past of being on a reality TV show, people are going to have opinions. And now more than ever, everyone's accessible on TV because we all have social media. How do you find that side of things?
I think, you know, you have got to have a thick skin. I think my mentality going into reality TV was like my nearest and dearest, my important people, you know, if they turn around to me and say, Tristan, you're acting like a bit of a prick, that's when I'll pay attention, you know, because they know me and they know who I am and what I'm like. And I think it's really hard or probably quite easy for people who are, you know, watching the show to form an opinion from a snapshot they get. They get 2 minutes of a scene that's been an hour long, and they get a couple of those in a series. Do you know what I mean? So they're kind of formulating this opinion of you without them really knowing you. So that is hard when I think sometimes it's so far from your truth that people are assuming you're this, you're that, or you've acted a certain way, and you, all you want to do is defend yourself and kind of clear your name, but you're just going to run out of energy if you do that. So I think it's really important to have the mindset of, you know, my nearest and dearest, people closest to me, the important ones, everyone will have an opinion, but that will probably pass, because I think, you know, these things don't usually last that long, and the people's opinions change very quickly, week on, week out, really, with this show. So I think you have a thick skin. Yeah.
How about the DMs? How are they looking? Who's sliding into them?
There's the DM. I'll tell you what, that is one, usually a positive part of social media. there's two sides to the scale. As a single bloke, obviously, it's quite, you know, it's nice. But also there are keyboard warriors on there who every now and then they get you in a bad mood, and one of those comments really riles you up. But it's just, people have opinions, don't they? And I think if you pay all your attention to it, you're going to get weighed down and run out of energy. So it's really, my mentality is to kind of not get too sucked into it. I don't really read comments. I don't really read Twitter. Definitely not Twitter. I try and avoid kind of any article comments and stuff, and just focus on my own race, really.
Yeah. Wise words.
You mentioned your sort of your nearest and dearest and stuff. Do they watch the show, or do they sort of just leave it to you to sort of, because it's a difficult one, isn't it? You might want them to see. I don't know.
Yeah. To be fair, my dad actually called me end of last series. Not the one that's airing now. The one before. I had quite a tough last two series when we were away. Had a kind of ongoing breakup and stuff. And he was like, "Tris, listen, I just can't watch you crying on TV anymore, mate. Like, I love you. It was hard." So they nowadays are kind of like, it's almost like they know what's going on in my life, so they don't really need to watch the show, if you like, because they get this snapshot of people's opinions and everything, and they're like, "Nah, we know the real you." So in short, no, my family don't watch it anymore. But my mates do, and they take great pleasure in sending me messages after the episode saying, "You did that? You did what? Hold on a minute, that's not what you said at the time." I'm like, mum and dad definitely don't watch it anymore. And it must be hard as a parent, I imagine, to
Definitely.
That journey. I probably wouldn't watch watch them on reality TV.
Yeah, I can understand that. And what's life like away from Chelsea for you at the moment? What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
I have recently launched a travel business, which has been really exciting. So I used to be a safari guide in Southern Africa, and to kind of organise trips that side. And I've started a business now organising and hosting trips out to predominantly Africa. So that's been really exciting. Obviously, quite a tough time for travel at the moment. But that's starting
It's getting better, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's getting better, which is great. So got my first trip to South Africa booked out for the 17th of August. 17th of August. And
is that the first time you've been back?
I was there over Christmas and New Year's. I was there for three months, from November to Jan, which was beautiful. But it's been really positive, to be fair. Coming out the back of the lockdowns, I think everyone's got a new lease of life, and being able to focus on business and getting things picked up again has been really exciting. So it's great. And when the show's filming in the way it is now in London, and you can balance everything, it's a really nice place to be in, to be honest. So very happy my side at the minute.
Amazing.
Yeah, it all sounds pretty perfect to me. Wow, then you've got South Africa booked. Yeah, geez. It's a bit of an industry sort of chat, but like, has the safari sort of industry been really badly hit by the pandemic?
Yeah, really. Do you know what? Because, you know, unlike over here, they weren't government grants or kind of financial fallbacks, people over there, tourism sector was the biggest form of income for all the guys who live in these rural parts of Africa, who are kind of working in the safari industry. So it was really, really detrimental to those guys. A friend of mine actually started a foundation to support them over the lockdown.
Right.
I managed to, or some of the guys we used to work with, managed to raise a lot of money, but it's an ongoing issue. And then obviously poaching picked up at the back of that, because the income that people would have to feed themselves, something they don't have, and they're having to rely on going out and sourcing their own meat and food from the environment they live in. So it has been really, really tricky, which is why, you know, we're just really excited to get that up and running and get people back into these environments and help the locals there, because without those guys, we wouldn't have the ability to go on safaris and visit these places.
Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. Something I'll look into. Well, Tristan, where can we find Made in Chelsea if we're looking for it? And you, where can we find you?
Made in Chelsea is on E4, Monday, 9 o'clock. We'll be in a hot, beautiful climate, so that will be to come very soon. All four as well for catch up. And I'm on social media, Tristan Phipps.
Perfect.
Only nice comments, please.
I'm literally spamming it with bad content right now. So, nothing nice to say. No, thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Really appreciate it, and best of luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Have a lovely rest of your day. Enjoy.
You too. Thank you. Best of luck for the next series.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. Cheers.
See ya.
Take care.
See ya. Bye.
What a lovely chap.
Yeah, lovely chap. And I have to say that, I know... It's a little bit interesting to talk about things like that, but you forget, I think that there are places that are still really badly affected by what's gone on, especially tourism and stuff. And it's nice to think that, people like him are trying to make a difference and sort of get it back to where it was before.
Absolutely.
If anyone wants to take me on a safari to South Africa, I'm more than happy to jump on that plane and go see some elephants. That's fine. I'm up for that.
Made toes. If you take it, Stephen, you have to take Bobby as well. Oh, let's go to South Africa, Stephen.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, you wouldn't have to tell me twice. Well, I've got three holidays booked now, so I'm dead excited. Do you know what I mean? I've got all
you're loving life.
Going on. You know what I mean?
Jet setter.
Yeah, I mean, Ryanair, but it'll do.
Don't matter, as long as it's got wings and it flies.
Yeah, hopefully safely. Well, before our next guest Harpreet comes in, let's do a little bit more showbiz gossip.
So what caught your eye then, babes?
Well, I think we've actually spoken a little about this before, but I was quite intrigued by Vicky Patterson and what she had to say about her freezing her eggs, because obviously she got engaged to Erkan a little while ago, didn't she? And she said that she's gone forward with sort of plans to freeze her eggs because she's, I think she's 34, 35, something like that. And she's thinking now that she should be doing that in preparation because they're not ready to have kids yet and blah, blah, blah. There seems to be more and more people interesting, sort of talking at the one end of the spectrum, sort of Romeo Beckham at 19, but then also sort of couples taking their reproductive health seriously and thinking this is the age we're going to have to do it. And yeah, I was kind of intrigued. It's quite refreshing to hear her talk so honestly about something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we definitely live in a generation now where things aren't necessarily how they used to be 20, mm-hmm. 30, 40 years ago, where a lot of people married kids by 19, 20, which is amazing. A lot of people want their careers. So a lot of women and men are starting families slightly older now. And I just think amazing technology we've got now and options we've got now, which is accessible, more accessible than it was however many years ago, that people can do that. I think it can only be a good thing, I can see that people, because I think there is still a guilt. Some people feel like they can't have it. Oh, when I think you can. I think why can't
you have to plan it? That's the thing.
But you have to plan it.
And you can't just expect it to happen.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything harm. There's anything wrong with having children slightly later enough and having your career first. And like I say, how amazing that we've kind of got science and medicine now that kind of gives you that option, even if it's more just for peace of mind.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's great to for Vicky to be sort of talking about it, because you just don't often sort of hear people be really honest about things like their reproductive health and stuff. And it's nice to hear that she's sort of getting it out there. Yeah, I mean, I don't actually know that it's probably quite a pricey procedure. It's not something that is just done for you on the NHS. But yeah, interesting. And I wonder how long they will leave it, because obviously I imagine they'll probably get married fairly soon, and then wonder if maybe she's sort of thinking in 3 or 4 years, but best to get the eggs now while they're still healthy and she's in a top physical shape. And good for her, I think.
Absolutely.
Our next guest is here.
Perfect.
Let's get Harpreet in.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, babes.
Aubrey, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. To be honest, I tell you what's been making me feel the most good recently is the weather. Like, the sun just makes me so happy.
We were just having that conversation with our previous guest. It really does make a very big difference, doesn't it?
It really does. Honestly, I've actually been cracking a smile, which is quite rare for me.
It's so true what a little bit of sun does. Everyone just feels a little bit happier and it's a little bit nicer, which can only be a good thing. It's a win-win. Firstly, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What have you been up to since winning the show, and has it sunk in yet?
Busy, I would imagine.
It's been really, really busy. I mean, running a business anyway is full on. I've been running my business 6 years, so it's not a new idea. But going on the show has really kind of accelerated, all the orders. I've launched the nationwide delivery service on the final night. So that's been intense because it's almost been like just a whole new arm of the business that we just haven't done before. The stores have been really busy. It's just been manic. And then juggling all that with all the media attention, I'm not going to lie, it's been really intense, but I've been really enjoying it.
How do you find the media attention?
It's new for me because I've never been on TV before. I wasn't really active on social media before this process. I've never really had any desire to be famous or in the public eye. So going through the process, I'm getting so many messages now from young people and women saying, wow, you're a role model. So people are watching everything I'm doing now, which is totally new for me because I'm traditionally quite a private person. So yeah, it's new. It's nice because obviously everyone's been really supportive, really positive. And I think it's nice, you know, going on The Apprentice and getting an investment for your business. It's an achievement. So it's only a good thing.
What's it like though? I mean, because yeah, like kind of Bobby said, like once you've actually won, it's not like you do Celebrity Big Brother and you've won and then that's it. You know, like then it's kind of the beginning of it once you've won The Apprentice, isn't it?
Yeah.
How has that been sort of working alongside Lord Sugar, getting, mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, your business already existed, but, you know, getting the money involved and all that. How's that been?
Do you know what it feels like? So obviously I've been running my business 6 years, and anyone that's ever set up their own business, when you first set up, it's unreal. You are just hit from every single angle with something new. And that's how I feel again. Like there's just this constant pressure from waking up to going to sleep. But I don't think that's not because Lord Sugar's applying that pressure to me. It's I'm applying that pressure. You know, I've put this business in the public eye and I know its potential. I have to achieve that now. And I'm a very driven person. I'm very like, I like things quick. So it's almost like really making me kind of, I don't know, I'm just hungrier than ever to make this business a success. But working with Lord Sugar, so he's out of the country at the moment, but he's completely in touch and his advisors have actually been really good.
Like, really?
I don't mean it in a bad way, but like surprisingly good, as in...
Oh, well, you probably weren't expecting it like to be as involved or something as they are maybe, right?
Yeah, I kind of almost expected it to be, okay, you need to go and perform and, you know, make money and, you know, we're going to assess how you're doing. And it's not been like that. They've been like really helpful and really open and just being able to step in and support where necessary, but also being, you know, letting me get on with it and trusting me that I know my business. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually really, really enjoying it so far.
I wanted to ask you, so in the 6 years of having the business, had you ever thought about applying to The Apprentice before? And if not, what made you decide this is the time now? Because that must be quite a scary thing, because it's potentially not just going on TV for the first time, but it changes the game, doesn't it, completely? Yeah.
So I personally have always wanted to go on The Apprentice. I've watched it growing up as a kid. I've never really kind of really thought, okay, I'm going to apply. I did once a couple of years ago, but I never actually did it. I actually always wanted to do it because that's my idea of fun. I really want to do cool tasks and like see if I can win. I'm really competitive. So I just wanted to do it for fun and like I'm the type of person that thinks, well, if they can do it, if she can do it or he can do it, I can do it. So I just have that weird competitive streak, and I just wanted to do it just for the, like, you know, for the fun element. And then actually setting up my business, I really wasn't sure whether to apply for the show because I felt a little bit of imposter syndrome, because I had it in my head that Lord Sugar would be wanting to support someone who's brand new to business and wanting to like really help them get it going from the ground upwards. So I wasn't sure he'd be interested in me because I don't know. I just thought maybe the nature of the show is just to support someone new, but also he's invested in food and dessert businesses before. So I just, there was a slight thought that, that kind of creeped in that, you know, that's not the platform for you. But because of the driven side of me and wanted to have a bit of a go, I thought, nah, I'm going to give it a go. Let me just apply and see how far I get. But so, yeah, I got on it and I actually went and won it as well, which is even better. So
was there ever a point during filming? I'm guessing not day one, like you say, because you kind of didn't ever expect to do the show and you certainly didn't expect him to invest. Was there a point during the process where you thought, I can do this or I could really win this now?
Mm. Yeah, you're right that I didn't think that on like day one or task one at all. I did going into it because I'm a very like confident, sure of myself person. And as soon as I got there, honestly, I panicked. And you get one phone call a week, and I rang my sister and I bawled my eyes out. I was like, get me out of here. This is so hard. Like, everyone's so smart. And I said to her, please don't be embarrassed if I like come home like very soon. You know, because it's a lot tougher than what you see on television. It's a really grueling process and the tasks are tough, you know. So,
well, a lot of the times also the tasks aren't actually anything to do with things you know about, right? Quite often.
So I've never made a toothbrush, you know. have you?
No, can't say I have. Probably never will.
No.
And I've never made a non-alcoholic drink because if you're going to make the effort to make a drink, you make an alcoholic one, right? So it was just, you're really thrown in the deep end. There's cameras everywhere. You're working with people that need to be your teammate, but they're also competing against you. So everything is just working against you. And honestly, I've never just been so mentally exhausted. There's a real like resilience that you have to kind of form to get through. You just really have to mentally be there because the exhaustion takes over physically and emotionally. I forgot the original question.
just was there ever a point, and if so, when was it during the process where you thought, actually, yeah, I could get to the final and I could win this?
Yeah, I did start thinking that because I think I only lost up until task 9, I'd only ever lost one task. And in my head, I thought, okay, if my team loses again, there's no way I'm going home because I've had such a good proven track record and I knew I was contributing enough. I knew I could get to the interview stage from probably halfway. Thought, yeah, I can do this, probably from task 5 or 6. And when I got to the interviews, I felt I'd performed well. And I felt, I'm just being honest, I felt I deserved a place in the final. But I did also come to a self-acceptance that if I got fired or he didn't choose me as his investment, I felt fully accepting of that because I knew I had done everything in my power and given myself 110%. So if he didn't choose me, that's okay because I've got there's nothing I've got left to give. I didn't let nerves get in my way. I didn't even think about the fact that I'd be on television in front of millions of people. So like, watch yourself. I just went into it. So if I did get fired, I wouldn't have been cool with it, obviously, but it is what it is. So yeah.
Where does that confidence come from? Because I'm the kind of person who really shies away from competition with people. I've never been that. It's just never been my thing. Where does that sort of inner confidence come from? Is this something you were just brought up with?
I'm getting asked a lot of that recently. I think I probably didn't realise how confident I am. But I'm not sure if it's 100% confidence or the kind of acceptance thing is what I'm getting at. So as I was growing up, I was actually really shy. Like, I didn't have any confidence. I was the middle child. I was forgotten about.
the classic,
honestly, like, I'd be surprised if anyone ever heard me speak. Like, I didn't have anything to say. I had nothing to say. And I really focused on my studies. my dad was quite strict growing up, so I didn't really get like the experiences that maybe like other kids my age did. And I think, you know, through a few life experiences, I kind of learned that if you don't go out there and get something or put yourself out there or take that risk, the alternative is worse, because the alternative is feeling not fulfilled, not giving it a go and having that satisfaction. And you could actually potentially reach your goal and reach your outcome by putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. So I think I started for a little while like faking it till I made it. So like when I got my first job in a bank, I honestly was so shy, but I forced myself to have those conversations because I didn't want to be seen as the shy person. I wanted to excel and progress. So I had to fake it a little bit, and I still do to this day. Like,
it's worked out pretty well though.
I know, I hide it really well. I hide it really well. Of course I get nervous. I'm human. We all get nervous, you know. When we went, I'm actually, it's quite funny, I'm actually quite camera shy. Like, I didn't go on the show because I wanted to be on TV. I naively forgot that there'd be cameras everywhere. And I remember seeing all the cameras and everything and feeling like kind of, you know, not confident. Sometimes you have body issues or whatever. But I just think the alternative is really lame, because you're just not getting anything out of your life that way. Just go for it. Take the risk. And guess what? If you look silly or if you fail, so what? It only hurts your ego a little bit, but at least you tried, and you can look back in years to come and say, I gave it a go. I didn't let my nerves get in the way. Yeah. Anyone that's got something to say, guess what? They're probably nervous, shy, and just jealous probably, because they're not in the same position. So I think it's just a case of, I don't want to let anything get in the way of my goals, not even my own lack of confidence.
But I think that's such a good thing that you've gone into that, like you said, because I think some people, especially now The Apprentice has been on so long, some people do go on it very aware that it's a TV show and almost wanting a media career. I think the fact you didn't, and that was actually the afterthought, it was solely about an investment, the business challenging yourself and being a fan of the show growing up, I think it's really refreshing and massively would have gone in your favour.
Well, it did. I think it did. It did. I do think Lord Sugar saw that in me, because honestly, watching myself back has been so embarrassing, because I didn't realize how direct I am. And I genuinely forgot the cameras were there. I didn't care. I just cared about winning every single task. That's all I cared about. And like, if I watch it back now, I'm like, wow, Harps, like, calm down. There's like, you know, people are watching you. I just honestly was so laser focused. And I think it's just the way I am in normal life. Like, if you want to get something done, focus, don't let nerves or this or that get in your way, crack on and get the job done. So I think he saw that in me.
That's a business brain. Like I say, you weren't worried about the cameras, you only wanted to win and do your challenges and the tasks. That's business, isn't it? So that would shine right through, because actually you're like, forget what's going on here, I want to win this and prove that I can do this. Yeah. I love that. You say about watching it back. Do you think, obviously the power of editing and stuff when you watch a TV show back, do you think what we saw on TV was a true representation of how things did happen?
Mm-hmm. It's a really difficult question to answer, because yes and no. And I was really naive to this, because like I say, I've never been on TV. So I applied for The Apprentice because, just like everybody else, you've watched it and you've thought, oh my God, these people are such idiots. I could do a much better job myself. We all think it. And that's why I applied. I thought, there's no way they could make me look stupid. Of course not. The way it's set up, honestly, it's really, really tough. The tasks that we do, they're sometimes days on end, but the viewers only see one small snippet, and they're the most entertaining bits. There's lots of good things that happen. There's like parts where we're all really collaborative and we have a laugh. But that's not going to make entertaining TV, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like any situation. Like if you take like your full day, you might have like so many good things that happen, but there'll be that one moment where you're stuck in traffic or you've effed and blinded at someone or whatever it is. They just show that element. So yes, it is a representation of what's happened and transpires in the end. But you have to consider that people are like a lot more balanced in real life. They're not under that amount of stress and pressure. There isn't £250,000 at stake on a daily basis. I wish there was. So It is a true representation of what's happened to an extent, is the best way I could put it.
Yeah.
Very diplomatic. What's next for Osa Young? What have you got planned?
Oh, I'm so excited. I've had such a good day as well with loads of like good things happening. So the biggest thing that came up on the show was that I need to be able to scale the business, because I had two dessert parlors when I entered the process, but I want to scale up and quick. And that's what Lord Sugar's concern was. And I said I could launch a nationwide delivery service across the UK of a range of desserts. Since I left the process, before I even knew whether I've got the investment or not, I decided to crack on anyway, because I thought this is the direction my business is going in. So in between the filming and the show actually being on TV, I was able to like launch that service, get it ready, created my own range of desserts, and we launched it on the final night. And so now my desserts are available anywhere in the UK, and you can go onto my website and order them to your doorstep. So alongside that, we've got lots of other routes to grow as well. So with that, I'll keep coming up with new products. I've got some collaborations lined up, and we want to increase, obviously, our physical presence, because yes, you can order online and you can try the like really delicious products. You can gift them, but the stores are really magical. You can order hot items there. You can have a milkshake. It's a place to come and chill. So we're going to keep expanding those as well.
Sounds very exciting. Yeah,
no, I want an older one.
I know, it's dinner time. I'm hungry. No, that always sounds great, and it's nice to see it all happening so fast for you.
Thank you.
Well,
go on. Sorry to interrupt. You know what? I don't mean to blow my team's trumpet or my own trumpet. It's not just me. Like, I have staff that work with me, and my sister is also in the business. We have worked so, so, so hard over the past few months to make this happen. So it's really nice to like now share it with people and see it like playing out. So it's good, but it takes a lot of hard work.
You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing the hard work, and it's paying off.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And best of luck with what you got coming up.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye, hon.
Bye. Bye. Nice to speak to you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The positivity coming through my screen. You just speak to certain people in life that she's got a good head on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. Mentality, and I say, yeah, just through this Zoom,
she could do like positive. A TED talk or something on how to like, you know, successfully 100%. Run a business. And also, I just really want a really delicious dessert now, which is bad.
She's got the power of that in her mind as well.
By the time
I end this show, I need something sweet. I either have to order something or...
I'm with you. On my walk back to the train station, I'm absolutely 100% sure I'm going to pick up a Twix or something, which is bad. I shouldn't do.
Got to be done.
It's
a treat. It's a treat.
Well, what a lovely show as ever.
Nice show.
And nice to have some like very like inspirational, positive people on.
Really nice, really nice. Love that. Lovely to be back. Lovely to see your face again, babes.
And yours.
You're feeling better.
And, I'm feeling much better. And especially because this weekend coming up, I am going to Madrid, which I cannot wait for.
Love that. It's a special weekend you're going for, isn't it? Something going on there.
There is Madrid's having it's a little party weekend. Yeah,
it's a festival, is it?
Little fetish week, actually.
A fetish festival.
We're not going for that. It just happens to be at the same
time. All right, Stephen. It's just it's a coincidence.
You're going to see me swinging my whip round my head.
In his harness.
In a harness and full leathers, dressed like one of the... We're going to go like the YMCA men. We're going to be all like the policeman and the builder.
You'll be packing that boat, baby. Always swinging around a flagpole.
Nips in the breeze. Can't wait. There's two straight women coming with us, so we can't be balls to the wall, literally.
Gotta go and be cultured.
Exactly. Yeah, we're gonna do some nice things, and I'm sure we will pop into a gay bar or two. I'm sure it will come.
It'd be rude not to, babe.
Exactly.
I can't wait to hear all about it next week. get some photos.
Have you got any exciting plan this weekend? I'm assuming no fetish clubs.
No fetish trips to Spain for the weekend. No Spanish men on the cards.
Boring.
Just work really. Seeing a friend, catching up with a friend Saturday, which would be really nice. Going to do a bit of shopping, bit of a lunch, which will probably turn into a drink or two after. Got to be done. Hopefully the sun stays. So no, that would be really nice. But I'm excited. I think weather's here to stay, don't they? Is this the heat wave we've been promised for so long now?
Don't say it, Bob. You'll jinx it.
I've jinxed it. Well, you'll be on your plane Friday. You'll be fine. You're jetting off to sunny.
Who cares? Yeah, exactly.
Well, you get lots of photos, Stephen. Enjoy your fetish week. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
I can't guarantee that. on that note, thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys.